Malolele. This is RNZ Pacific's news. I'm Don Wiseman. A 57-year-old Tongan man who was swept out to sea during Saturday's tsunami has been hailed a real-life Aquaman. Lisala Folau, who lives on the small isolated island of Atata, said he was swept out to sea when the waves hit his home. He says he kept floating and slowly managed to swim nearly 8 kilometres to the main island of Tongatapu, reaching shore about 27 hours later. Close to 100 Fijian soldiers will be deployed to assist Tonga and islands in Fiji's remote Lau group, affected by last week's volcanic eruption and tsunami. Acting Fijian Prime Minister Ayaz Said Kayum says he's formally assured Tonga of Fiji's support.
We have offered to airlift disaster-ready RFMF personnel who have responded to crises in Fiji, in the Solomon Islands, in Australia, to ship out with a contingent of Australian troops.
Fiji's working with New Zealand and Australia to coordinate a regional relief effort for Tonga. Three shipping containers are being set up at Auckland's Mount Smart Stadium to be filled with donations for Tonga today. The Aotearoa Tonga Relief Committee is organising the relief effort and plans to collect and ship food and emergency supplies donated mainly by people with family in Tonga. Alicia Foon has the details.
People can donate food and emergency supplies at Mount Smart Stadium from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. today and tomorrow. Priority will be given to people with family in Tonga, with each family being allocated a 44-gallon drum to send. Items being asked for are non-perishable foods like rice, canned meat, as well as water, small cooking utensils, batteries and torches. Committee Secretary Pakilau Manasilua says the Tongan government will distribute the goods to the worst affected islands, like Mango, Ata'ata, Namuka and Fonoifua.
Solomon Islands reported 48 new cases of COVID-19 on Thursday. Takes to 81 the number of cases in the country, which until this week had had just a handful of people with the virus. Cases are spread throughout the country, with Ontong, Java and parts of Guadalcanal now in lockdown. The outbreak began with the illegal entry of a vessel from Papua New Guinea to Ontong, Java last week. That vessel delivered at least 23 cases of COVID-19. The virus has since spread to Guadalcanal, prompting a lockdown in Honiara that is due to finish tomorrow morning. 9 cases are members of the one family which is linked to the Ontong Java cluster and who had travelled on to Honiara. Others are Maritime Authority and Solomon Islands Enterprise Limited staff who came into contact with people from the vessel. 9 cases are in the emergency department at the National Referral Hospital. 3 are staff and the rest are patients. The Prime Minister, Manasa Songavare, said the emergency department was closed as of Wednesday night. New Caledonia recorded another 384 COVID-19 cases on Thursday, bringing the total number of active cases there to 1,417. Officials say New Caledonia will move to new restrictions from this Monday. These changes require vaccinated cases who contract the virus to isolate for 14 days, with unvaccinated cases isolating for 17 days. So far, 65% of the eligible population in New Caledonia is vaccinated. US President Biden has revised comments he made during a press conference in which he suggested a low-level Russian incursion into Ukrainian territory may not lead to punishing Western economic sanctions. The president now says any piercing of Ukraine will lead to a response. Our correspondent Simon Marks.
Ukraine fears the president's comments gave the Russians the green light to mount a low-level military incursion into Ukrainian territory. Trying to assuage fury in Kyiv, President Biden corrected the record at the White House today.
I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion.
But that is not what he said on Wednesday night, and the White House has spent hours trying to clean things up.
The UN General Assembly is due to vote on a resolution aimed at combating Holocaust denial. The proposal, put forward by Israel, will urge all nations and social media companies to tackle anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial. The vote is being held on the 80th anniversary of the Wannsee Conference in Berlin, which coordinated Hitler's Final Solution policy, in which 6 million Jews were murdered. New modelling from Otago University shows smoke-free 2025 can be achieved if the government rolls out mandated denicotisation while investing in quitline support. A new bill, as part of the government's smoke-free 2025 action plan, would mean only tobacco products containing very low levels of nicotine can be sold. Public health professor Richard Edwards says that alone will curb the number of people smoking, but combined with mass media campaigns offering quitline support, the results would be dramatic.
And if we do that as well, then we do achieve the smoke-free goal. Overall, we get to about 2%, and for Māori about 5% by 2025. So that's really good news. That suggests that the measures that are in the government's action plan should be successful in really getting us to minimal smoking level.
The bill is expected to be introduced this year. Sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell has officially requested a retrial. The 60-year-old was found guilty of recruiting and trafficking young girls to be sexually abused by the late American financier Jeffrey Epstein. She is yet to be sentenced and faces up to 65 years in jail. The retrial request comes after a juror in the case told media he'd used his own experience of being sexually abused to influence jurors reaching a verdict. And that is the news from RNZ Pacific. Now we return you to National Radio's Morning Report.